Before we start, let's have a word of prayer. 没有开始以前要做一个祷告。Father, as we thank you that we approach 2011's first month, 今天我们开始这个2011年。May your Holy Spirit guide us as we understand your insight for us. 求你对我们讲话。That you teach each one of us the importance of these three truths. 求你对我们显现这个三个重要的信息。In Jesus' name, 靠主耶稣的名 ,Amen. Today I will discuss on three new insights for 2001. 新的见解2011年。This is three insights which I think will help each one of us because it has helped me and it has guided me 2010, and there are things that I have learned, and I hope that it will help each one of us. I would like to ask your apology to the translation because I did this early morning and it's through Microsoft Rapid Translation. So some of the translation I figured is not that accurate because it's kind of literal. 这个翻译啊，这个中文有个怪怪的，所以请你们抱歉。Okay, as we read through the Romans chapter 12 verse 2, it said that do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. 听得懂, okay, okay. Okay. The important thing is this, the first insight is the Christian mind. What is going on in our brain? As we come here today, we have a lot of thoughts, and being here and being a Christian, what does it entails? What is the content of our mind? The Christian mind, as you know, is equivalent to Bible, God's Word. We should have no other reference except the Bible. So what's the Bible? What's actually the Bible? The Bible is not anti-intellectual, but very down to earth. Would you like to have 1,500 years of experience? 1,500 年的经验。So we have 1,500 years of experience condensed in the Bible. Just think of it. More than 40 authors inspired by God. And what we are thinking is the experience and the totality of 1,500 years and more than 40 authors. And it ranges from 1,400 BC up to AD 95. And God's Word, as you know, is written in different places, in the dungeon, palace, and island, and other areas. And it's written in where? In three continents. Asia, Africa, and in Europe. So what we have here is the knowledge during the three continents. So 我们三周的经验. And that's why what we have here is something very good, very great. 1,500 years of experience with the Word of God showing there in three continents, and it's written in three languages. The Bible we have, the mind that we are absorbing, this so big and great literature of God has in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And initially, if you think, where did the Bible come from? Where does God's Word come from? It came from the oral tradition. Then it is later written, and the canon closed in 430 BC. Okay. So this closed in 430 BC. And what is a canon? The canon is like a measuring rod, a rule of faith. And later on, The Old Testament was translated, first translation into Greek in 250 BC. So, this is where the Old Testament came from. If you look in there, there are about these scriptures in Hebrew was compiled, and later on we become the 39 books of the Old Testament. How about the New Testament? The New Testament has been compiled by the people who have seen and touched Jesus and have actually seen. If you look in Luke chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order to declaration of things which are mostly surely believed by us, even as they delivered them into us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the world." When they were compiling the New Testament, these are verified by eyewitnesses. So these are not folklores. So these are not just myths. And what we have are actually people who touched Jesus, who have seen Jesus resurrected. So when Luke was writing to Theophilus, he said that thou might know the certainty of these things, and thou hast been instructed. Luke is a physician. As a physician, we try to be objective. We don't tell patients that, oh, maybe you take this medication, it will not help you. But we are sure that this is going to help the physician, the patient, before you prescribe medication, because or else you may harm the patient. Luke is a physician. He is very sure when he wrote to Theophilus that what he has seen and heard, these are true. And the Bible, as you know, is an actual recording of what actually happened. There is no bias in the sense that it doesn't hide the strengths and weaknesses of the characters. What happened? If you look at Abraham and Sarah, what happened? He is like a husband who is afraid that somebody will steal his wife. Are you afraid of losing your wife? You get jealous? Well, Abraham was like that. He's afraid of his life. So he always say what? Oh, this is my sister. So what happened to Pharaoh? They tried to get him and get his wife, and he was punished. Not only was Abraham having this sickness, who else have this sickness of afraid of his wife and somebody stealing his wife? Isaac also. Isaac and Rebekah. So when Abimelech was there, Isaac also said that, oh, this is my sister. Then Abimelech went to try to get married to her also. So it's the same time. This tells us the Bible is not biased. It tells about the weakness of men. If you're going to write something to blow up, 你要写这个故事比较好听的，所有坏的东西都不讲。 I mean, if you try to say good things about you, show imperfect. I mean, this is truth. They try to say the weakness of the characters. 阿伯拉罕跟以撒。 How about David and Uriah? Also, it tells us about the bad things about David. Being the king, like, would you, as the president, will announce in public what I done in private? No. So you being the king, would you allow somebody to write my secret sins? No. They broadcast this in daylight. So that's one of the example of the David and Uriah, in which King David committed adultery and he was punished, and this was recorded. How about in the New Testament? Peter also was ashamed of the Gentiles when he flipped. He said that the Gentiles should follow the, some of the Jewish practices, and yet he was rebuked. Also, the fight between Paul and Barnabas. Do Christian workers fight? Why? Of course. They argue, but this is real life. That's why the Bible tells us what happens in real life. That's why our first insight is that we have to understand this valuable Bible we have. If you want to read something with more than 1,500 years of compilation, more than 40 authors, real life, non-fiction, then this is the important insight we have. And it's a record of faith. It's not a complete record of history, but it's for our edification and growth. So that's why we have to really understand it. And how many has been sold already? More than 1 billion. Okay? More than 1 billion copies has been sold. In 1998 alone, 585 million portions or copy of the scriptures per report of the United Bible Society. And so it's exciting. Everyone is finding this Word of God very relevant. Even opponents, even Gandhi read the Bible, but yet said that he didn't become a Christian. Because why? Because he felt the Christians were not living up to what the Word of God says. And how many translations we have? More than 2,200 translations. And the world has more than 6,500 known languages. So this is exciting. You see, God has given us His Word. More than 2,200 translations has been made. And Jesus said that He'll come back again when the God's Word is spread throughout the world. It's one-third already. More than 90% of people who has read has this God's Word already. And not only this, it's prophecy fulfilled. We know from the Old Testament how they predicted Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And all the prophecy of Daniel and all the other prophecies that has fulfilled. But after knowing all of this, we should realize that there are many things in life that are hard to explain. That's why we are here today to understand that God's Word has element of faith. It is rational, it is truthful, but there are some things that is beyond our comprehension. Like what? Is Jesus fully man? Yes, He is fully man and yet He is fully God. So this is very important. Jesus experienced our pain. So when you read God's Word, you said Jesus should have easily gone through life. No, Jesus is fully man. That's why Jesus can understand us. He understands us because when He came to the world, He came to experience our pain, came to experience what the world is without His power. He was made lower than the angels, and yet He is fully God. And yet He is part of the Trinity. So He is God, He is part of the Trinity, but yet He is fully man. How can this fully God and fully man exist? This is one of the mystery of God. But as you read God's Word, you will understand that there are certain things that we have to take by faith. The other thing is predestination and free will. As we read God's Word, God will tell us, I have chosen you, and I have chosen, and this is my will. But do we have freedom to choose? The truth is in between also. We cannot say that because I am a Christian that I will not do anything. No. We have to trust Him always, and yet we live by faith to trust him. The more important thing is we have our guide to be with us. When you get lost, we panic. Like last time I was riding the jet ski, I was sharing this last time. And the jet ski ran out of power because it was clogged by the water plant. So then the jet ski floats in the river here, Columbia River. So it will float. So if well will I reach out, you'll see me there in the bridge there in Pasco as Jimmy is. But eventually I was able to maneuver it. It has a little power until it reached the bank. All of us, you get panicky in life if you don't know where you're going. But if you see a guide, then you'll be happy. The more important things in life is not where we are lost, but we have the confidence that our guide is alive. So when I got lost, I went to a house there and called telephone and people came to meet me. But we have the telephone in God. God will tell us what to do. That's why I always panic, or we lose our temper, or we lose our confidence if we meet hardship in life. But we know through God's word, we have a telephone, we have a guide. That's why when we read God's word, God will give us wisdom. It's natural to panic, it's natural to lose faith. But remember, the guide is always there. Or we can say that, oh, that is my faith. I cannot change it. No. Or I made the wrong decision in life. I should have done this 10 years ago. I should have invested. I should have done this. But God's word tells us the important thing is our faith in him. The guide will always be there. He's going to be there no matter what. And how much personal responsibility do I have? Do I just don't do anything and sit and wait for God to bless me? No. We know there's a guide. We know there is a path to success. But planning is also needed. That's why when in the Gospels it was telling us the cost of discipleship. When you go out to war, you have to count the number of enemies you have. When we do a plan, we plan for something, we need to count the cost. We need to see how much is involved. That's why it's important for us as Christians to always count the cost, get organized. And afterwards, we do our best and we try to rely upon the Lord for wisdom. That's why it's not like, okay, I will pray and ask God, then I don't do planning. I want to be successful, then I get lazy. I say, God, you're going to do that. No. We ask God, we plan, we have a vision. And my second insight, I will share to you the importance of this new year. It's exciting. We have gone through 2011. We have something. The first insight tells us we're in the right place. We have more than 1,500 years of experience. We have a great guide. We have something that is behind us that's so great. And that's why the other element of faith also is that we have to witness. It's not that God gave us this truth. We hold on to ourselves. But we have a responsibility to share with everyone. Salvation of ourselves is important, but yet we have also this first insight. As Christians, we have obligation to society also. We can say that as Christians, we are saved individually, but we need to grow as a church. That's why it's no excuse for me, for anyone to say, I can go and stay at home and worship. No, we cannot. The Bible said that we are the body of Christ. We have to grow together. We cannot grow alone. And God instituted the church. That's why we're here today. That's why the church we are having is a continuation of the church 2,000 years ago. We are meeting on Sunday as a whole, as the whole world. That's why it's important to know that we are part of something that is so big, that is worldwide. We live here on earth knowing that one day there's a better place. For humanism, they will say that we are doing good for humanity. But we're doing good because Jesus called us to do good. That one day, there's going to be no tears, pain, and suffering. We know that, have you have any arthritis, joint pain? Like when you reach, like me, I reach 40 now, I have my appendix out. Then my blood pressure goes high, or the glucose become abnormal. All of us going to experience that one of these days. I have a patient at 95 years old. His body is good, but his brain is poor. So, memory deteriorates, everything deteriorates, hip pain. I have a physician friend, he's younger than me by 10 years old, but he saw me last week, said, "Oh, Jimmy," I said, "why are you limping?" "Oh, I just have my hip replaced." So you never know. You never know. Our life, we are living here temporarily. And there's going to be no pain and suffering and in the years to come in heaven. The other thing that importance for our Christian mind is that the as Christian, we think we are free from society. As Chinese, we like to keep our face, 照顾我们的面. But this is important. As Christians, we have to speak the truth in love. A lot of times, we see somebody doing wrong or myself doing wrong, and our children speak out or our brethren speak out, but we refuse to listen. I think this is important, that we have to speak the truth in love. That's why, that's the other things about our faith, that Christianity transcends to society. The other thing that our Christian thought should be is, we work so hard as if everything depends upon our career. We have a lot of blessing, but a lot of the times we are driven by greed and insecurity. For this coming year, what will happen if we lose our job or we lose our ability to earn? Do we try to work hard because we thought that by doing so we will survive? No, but the security is in the Lord. And we have to be responsible for our society. A lot of Christians, a lot of us thinking, as long as it will benefit me, who cares? Anyway, Sunday I go to church. A lot of times as Christians, we become one man army, and we don't care what happened in church. We don't care what happened in society. But as Christians, this dichotomy exists that we should be responsible. One of the things that also important in our Christian mind is being loyalty and truthfulness. Like, I'm loyal to that person, so whatever he does doesn't matter. That's not good also. There's a balance between our loyalty and truthfulness. We have to tell that person that you are doing wrong for the greater good. I think this is a problem also in Oriental society. 我们东方人就是喜欢就是 but he's older, I should listen to him, but sometimes the older person is narrow-minded or close-minded, that to the extent that what I say is right. 很固执. I mean, then that's why it's important that we should understand as Christians, we are subjected to this problem also. And The other thing is, we are focusing on the giver, not but always the gift. So this is in our Christian life, we only come to church when things do well, when we have a lot of gifts, when people pay attention to us. But this is the other truth. That's why this is the first insight. We have this great Bible, we have this great guide, but there's always this constant tension. I want the gifts, but not the giver. I want to get, I want to grab. Last night we were having a devotion about the grabber. Okay? Who grabs a lot? Jacob. He grabs Esau's foot. He grabs his birthright. He grabs Laban's things. He grabs everything. Let us not be known as grabber until finally God grabbed him and he has to surrender. He couldn't walk. So that's why we should be focused on the giver and not on the gift. So that's the first insight. I think I'll try to finish two insights. I think we're pressed for time. What I'm going to share today is the first insight is about God's Word. And the second insight comes from the book, Better Than Good. After knowing all of this, God's Word, the importance of the guide, that there's always tension in our life, it's important for us to have passion. Okay? Passion is important. Why? Have you talked with a person that has no passion? You get bored and, how come if I talk with him, nothing happens. Passion is important. And Zig Ziglar, one of the motivational speakers, talks about the importance of passion. Our life should be driven by passion from above, driven by heavenly purpose. Why is it important? Because we're going to fail emotionally, spiritually, physically, economically, financially, rationally, relationally, and career-wise. All of us are going to meet failure. You're going to be taken advantage of by someone. Let's face it, we have so many frustration. Who has no frustration? I have frustration, all of us have frustration. But what keeps us going? It's this passion from above. Have you been disappointed by people you trust? People whom we least expect will betray us or not be there when the time comes? You expected your friend to remember you during your birthday? We have somebody's birthday today also. So, also, somebody who owe you money, but when you need money, they're not there. Somebody who always asks for a favor, but when you call them, they seem to be very busy. These things happen. Or we lose our money, our homes, or our investment. This is going to happen in life. Or you get a failure, you couldn't get your grades that time. And we may encounter so many reasons for us to fail and go back. I'm tired here in America, I want to go back to China. Or I'm tired of staying here, I want to go back to my old job. Things in life is like that. I want to go back to where I came from. We want to withdraw. Or I am not adjusted here. My children are so bad. Or my parents are so bad. I hope I was born in a different family. I hope I have different children. It's always, there's so many things happening in life. But we should realize that we have three important resources to keep this passion. We have time, we have talent and treasure. The more our time, talent, and treasure you invest in our passion for the Lord, the more you fight for it and defend it and protect it from anyone and everything would attempt to steal it from you. Life lived to the fullest needs us actively fighting for it. You cannot sit there because somebody's there going to steal your time. Somebody's going to steal your love for the Lord. It's either money or pleasure. Some has indulged in what? Gambling. Some indulge what? In pornography. Get addicted to the internet. Addicted to Facebook. Addicted to video games. Computer. A lot of things. That's why we have to spend our money, our time, and talent fighting for this passion. Because in this world, either something's going to addict you and me, or you're going to fight and survive. So after you have the passion, we have to have peak performance. So to be successful, insight number two, we have to do our best. But do we attain it? No. We should have the passion to want to do our best for 2011, and yet we should have the grit and firmness of mind and an unyielding spirit and the courage to face hardship and danger. By doing that, we will have always this problem of somebody's not going to be happy, or our body is so tired, we feel so bad. But we should continue, because we should be determined. We should be willing to do something poorly until we can do it well. Like somebody was telling me to do this, I said, I can't do it, but we are willing to learn. So insight number two is that we should have this passion for the Lord. We should try our best. 我们尽本分，是奉神。 And the third thing for us to be successful in our insight number two is we should have a purpose. Do we have a purpose for 2011, or I just live by for 2011? We cannot succeed. We will burn out if we don't have a purpose. Have you made your purpose? Have I made my purpose for 2011 or for my purpose in life? If not, we'll just be like a headless chicken that's running all over the place. We'll become a victim of no direction. We will run out. Because as you get frustrated, they said, oh, this thing is close, that thing is close. There are many opportunities in life, but not all the opportunities equal to purpose. There are more opportunities in life. That's why we should be clear. We should self-examine. We should pray. 我们要祷告. And when we do it, we should experiment and see whether am I fit for this purpose. Like somebody wants to become a movie star or a singer, and yet his voice or her voice is not good. So you have to experiment and see. And we have to ask your purpose. Like, my purpose for 2011 to be more Christ-like, then we try to see what things can be done. Or our purpose as a church in 2011 is to add new members or build an extension. But we should have peak performance and passion to see what's the purpose. Our purpose is because souls are important in Tri-City. These souls will go to hell if we don't preach. So are we all excited about church extension? Yes. Why? Because church extension means more people saved and more people not going to hell. So all of us are excited doing that. Rather than, oh, I have so many problems at the church extension. No, we're all excited because we're dealing with human lives. If your parents is dying, would you not go back to China and visit them? If our friends is drowning, would not be saved? If we know that the gospel is true, would we not try our best to extend our church so that we can cater to all the people in the Tri-City? Do we really believe that we will not help them if we preach the gospel? Then that's important for us to rethink on the first assumption, the first insight. Do we have the truth? If we don't have the truth, better just go home and just sleep. It's better on Sunday sleeping. But we know that we have the truth. And we have to have that counsel. That's why inspiration is caught better than taught. We get inspired as we live the Christian life, as we read the God's Word. If I tell you it's useless, unless you go out, I go out and preach, as go out and fail, then nothing's going to happen. Like I was going with my son driving. How many times I tell him to drive is useless unless I go out and get scared when driving beside him, then you can do it. It's a Christian life also. When you drive, it's scary. But as you go through the traffic, you go through the life, then you say, oh, he can do it. I can do it. Oh, it's now I can let him drive. Now I can drive and I can live this Christian life. It's not that scary. It's laugh at me. It's okay. People shout at me, oh, how come you're so slow? How come what? It's okay. We have this peak performance. We have this. We are accomplishing things. Our church, very few people initially, it's fine. But we're growing. We have the direction. Our life is gradually improving. You're going to do well in college. I encourage my children also going to do well. Your grade is not so high. It's okay. It's not important. We have a strong guide. That's why it's important for each one of us to examine what's our purpose. Because we have to watch our thoughts. If our thoughts is wrong, we're not going to end up anywhere. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. So if you keep cursing, the children will follow you. If you don't have faith, it will show. If the church leaders don't have faith, if I don't have faith, it's going to show in my actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. You think you can, like me, can I hide at home if I'm watching pornography? Later on, it will come out. If I'm committing sin in secret, it will come out because they become habits. So people commit sin. Why did that person kill somebody? It doesn't happen overnight. They've been thinking. They've been doing in secret. Watch your habits. They become character. Do people turn bad overnight? No, we start with the thoughts. Do people come to church? Yeah, but why do they quit coming? Well, they thought initially, oh, Sunday, I'm feeling lazy, I need to do this. Oh, I'm tired, I need to sleep more. Okay, I'll sleep. Oh, next week I'll sleep more. Then next week I'll sleep more. Then become a character. Then I'll not go to church. Then it becomes a destiny. I'll become a church at home. So that's important. We have to start now. Knowing the words, what we speak in secret. What we say, so-and-so is so bad, it will come back to us. So-and-so, that's why I tell my kids, I said, do not speak evil of anyone in the back. Because why? It will come back to you also. Somebody going to speak evil about you also. And to be great, you don't have to be great to start, but what you have to do is start to be great. We can be a great church, we can be a great person, we can have a great year by starting out to be great. That's why this insight number 2 tells us that we can be great. And Thomas Edison said, many of life's failure are people who do not realize how close they are to success when they gave up. So he failed so many times and always keep the picture of the goal in sight. Motivation gets you going, but habits get you there. So your career is what you are paid for, but your calling is what you're made for. That's why it's important to find out what God's calling for you. Without going through the first insight, it's not possible for us to have a purpose in life. That's why the start of 2011, kneel before God, kneel before your family as we pray each night, that ask God for direction. And we don't measure their opportunities against purpose. And lastly, I think I'll just share shortly the third insight, that God really works miracles nowadays. In Isaiah 53:5, Jesus was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment of us all brought peace upon him. By wounds we are healed. God hears our prayer because it will glorify him and his son. And he will heal us. It's a response from our faith. We need to have faith. God will heal us. Just as the woman, remember Dr. Snyder, he was here, she shared how the woman has been subjected to bleeding and get healed. And she said, if only I can touch his cloak, I can be healed. Your faith has healed you. We need to have faith. This, the third insight. Faith in a God that can make miracle. And that faith of God's healing is possible. God will answer us based on his promise. Is any one of you sick? You should call the elders to pray over him and anoint oil in the name of the Lord. About last month, remember I was here in front and I pray and offer in faith to make the sick person well. That is what God has promised. That's why we have to confess our sin to each other. But not all prayer for the sick get answered also. So some, like Paul, he prayed, he's sick, he has a thorn. Timothy, not all has been answered. But there are some God's will answer. Like what happened to Dr. Snyder. She has this breast cancer. It spread. And after surgery, there's another node. Then they did MRI. And she prayed again and turned out to be benign. I was having abdominal pain for about 3 weeks in November. I don't know what was the cause of it. I said, oh, I have a CAT scan done. And the CAT scan shows some lymph nodes. They said, oh, this is maybe infection related. So I said, okay, let me take a week of antibiotics and it will go away. Then, after a week, it came back. Then the pain increased. I said, this is not good. Maybe lymphoma because lymph nodes are big. So I was having a lot of pain. Then I came here in front. Remember Pastor Kuo pray. Then after that, more pain. I said, Lord, I have faith or not. I mean, I said, after prayer, more pain. But then I said, well, let's trust the Lord. And I went for a check. And I took another CAT scan and HIDA scan and special CAT scan. And lo and behold, everything went away. So God healed my pain. So things like this happen. I'm not making this up because I look at the CAT scan. I reviewed it with radiologists. And all the lymph nodes disappeared. And the pain disappeared also. And God heals us. That's why Christianity, without miracles, without this guide, nothing is left. Buddhism and other things is more of philosophy. What we have is a real guide. And this is true. Other things, other miracle is before I got married to Marlene, I told him I cannot have children because of my health. But many people pray for me. I was in the Philippines before. I said maybe I'll come to America so I have medical treatment. And yet, after prayer and try to have some surgery, I have now have 3 children, as you can see, there are evidence there. So, God answers prayer. That's why with these 3 insight, the first, we have a guide in historical records on 1,500 years. What can be our excuse not reading the Bible for 2011? Second, we have to have this passion. If we don't have passion, it's our responsibility to go back and ask God, why have I lost this passion? Why have I not have this peak performance? Why do I have this no purpose in life? This is our fault, and we have to solve it. And the third is, the third insight, God performed miracles. And God heals today. As we pray for more blessing, in healing. God really performed miracles. So right now, as I'm going to end, I'd like to pray for our audience here, this prayer of healing. Knowing that God's going to heal us if we have faith. Our healing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, we have so many hurts. We have lost purpose in life. We have a lot of sickness also. But we're going to pray together. Oh Father, I know not our condition. You know our hearts. 主耶稣，你看到我们心灵的问题。 You know our problems. You know our health. We know you answer our prayer. We know you heal people who have faith in you. 我知道你会听我们的祷告。你知道你会听我们的祷告，若我们有信心。 We pray right now, 我们现在祷告，我替大家, I pray for everyone who needs healing emotionally, physically, and spiritually. 我现在替大家属灵、肉体跟心灵的需要。 May you heal each one of us. 求你医治我们。 Knowing that we need healing from the past hurts, 我知道你会医治我们过去的问题。Will give us strength for today. 给我们现在有力量。Will give us purpose and power this 2011. 会给我们2011年有力量、有效力的基督徒生活。With power of the 2011 to clip the Christian life. Lord, I pray for healing for your glory. 我替大家祷告为你的荣耀。 May your name be praised. 愿主耶稣的名高举。 In Jesus' name, 靠主耶稣的名。 Amen. I would like to invite also all of you to our